Morning. Everybody doing good? We're in a series called Next Level Faith. And for some of us, you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we started with the passage about Peter. And I want to turn there one more time. It's out of Matthew chapter 14. If you want to follow along, and it's 22 through 33 is what I'm going to read. So it's Matthew 14, 22 through 33. And it's talking about when Jesus walks on the water. So the whole focus is really on Jesus walking on the water. It's not so much about Peter, but Peter's the one that kind of gets our attention because Peter's somebody like us. He put his foot in his mouth a lot. He made a lot of brash decisions. He made a lot of impulsive decisions. And but the thing is at least he would try things. And so let's kind of take a quick look. It says immediately after this is after the feeding of the 5,000. So in other words, Jesus has had a major day. It's been a huge day. Like we talked about, John the Baptist has been beheaded, which was a big deal. It kind of rattled them, I'm sure. But here's the other thing. It may have solidified their faith. It may have kind of brought a little toughness to them to go, you know what? Even if in death, if it costs us in death, we're following. We're doing what we ought to be doing. We're following Jesus. And so then Jesus feeds the 5,000, kind of rocks everybody's world with that. And then again here, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And then they climbed back into the boat and the wind stopped. And then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, what was it about the walking on the water that set him apart? You know, he'd fed, 5,000 people. Maybe they were like, you know what? You know, there's big groups of people that can feed 5,000, but not just anybody walks on water. And so he kind of rattled the disciples, but they literally worshipped him. They bowed down. They worshipped him. They exclaimed, man, he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the promised one. They began to realize who he was. And they saw that, you know, the authority that he had. And keep in mind, he's already calmed a storm on the sea before. And they would go, you know, who is this that controls the wind and the waves? Who is this that can do that? And so the disciples had already experienced some of his power and his authority. But for whatever reason, this kind of rocked the boat. It kind of brought it to a whole nother level. And so Peter goes over the side of the boat walking to him. And the thing that I love is they were afraid. Like I said, you know, maybe it was dark there. We think of it, him being illuminated and lit up. Maybe it was a moonlit night like we've had the last couple of weeks whenever that full moon was out. Maybe that's what they saw. But the thing is he said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage." And for many of us, we need that right now. We need to hear what Jesus said to those guys. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take the next step. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to go through the waters of baptism. Don't be afraid to give your life to Christ. Don't be afraid, but take courage. And for some of us in this room, he's telling you that. Don't be afraid. Don't walk in fear. Don't be, you know, scared of what this world has to say. But take courage and trust me. Move forward. And so let's take a look at today's focus. You know, one is how God grows our faith. And I want us to talk about that today is how does God grow our faith? You know, there's things, and I even covered some of those the other the couple of weeks ago whenever I was teaching. You know, some things that we can do. And so it's kind of the what. But what about the how? How does God grow our faith? How does he grow me spiritually? And I want us to look at a couple of things that I feel like are ways that God grows us. And number one is God grows me through commitments. You know, God grows me through commitments. When I commit to something, you know, there's a mentality that there's a mentality shift there. And so, you know, I may have been kind of looking at something and I may have been kind of weighing it out and I may have been thinking about it or whatever and maybe even kind of done some research and kind of evaluated how, you know, the pros and cons. But there comes a point where there's a commitment made. And I believe that whenever we have that mental shift to where we shift to say, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm on board. I'm going full steam ahead. Then the commitment begins to ramp things up, kind of raises the bar. How many times do you hear coaches asking, hey, guys, give me your best. You know, I want you to give me your best. I want you guys to be all in, fully committed. You know, we talk about that in sports. We talk about that in the military, being committed, you know, knowing that you can be counted on. And so the thing is, I believe that God grows us when we have the courage to make the commitment. To make the commitment. You know, Greg and I just went through the waters of baptism, and Greg, we were talking after the baptism, and I said, hey, man, you did great. And he said, you know, he goes, I'm just a little apprehensive of going underwater. I said, I could tell, you know, but the thing is that's okay. And he said, it just goes back, you know, I always kind of wrestle with that. And I said, but here's the thing, you know, I think he was wanting to do the sprinkle thing instead of the immersion. But I said, here during church, we do immersion because the word says to immerse, to put under. You know, that's what the word means. And so the thing is he wanted to do that. So he made a commitment, even though it was something that he was a little bit nervous about. He made a commitment to be baptized as a believer by immersion. And you know what he did? He did it. But if you don't ever make the commitment, you don't ever move to that level. And so here's the thing. Some of you guys need to make commitments. You need to take a step. And so here's the whole thing about commitments. It starts with a commitment to follow Christ. You think about that. We, whenever I give an invitation, or even when Jesus challenges us, he speaks to us from the Word, he challenges us to commit to follow him, to trust him. And so even to be saved, to take the very first step, is a commitment to commit your life to Christ. So you're saying, Jesus, I commit everything that I have to you. You are leader, you are Lord. I believe, I trust, I completely surrender to who you are. And so what you're doing is you're establishing a commitment. And so the very first thing, what has to happen for you to grow spiritually at all is a commitment to accept Christ, committing your life to him. And so it's that total surrender, that dying to self, and saying, I choose to commit my life to you. And so by doing that, that's the very first step. Is a commitment. Here's another one. We make the commitment to follow Christ in baptism. We just saw Greg do that. There'll be others today in the next service that will follow Christ in believers' baptism. There are some of you in here that, you know what, you have made a decision to accept Christ, but you have not made the commitment to follow him yet. And Jesus even taught that it was important to be baptized. You think back to the picture that you see of John the Baptist being in the river, and he's baptizing. And he's just got through telling everybody, hey, listen, there's one that's coming that, man, I'm unworthy to even untie his sandals. And here comes Jesus walking down the bank, and he goes, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And everybody's looking over there like, wow, so this is him. This is the one that John's been preaching about, like a voice calling out in the wilderness, like a light going before him saying, hey, listen, there's one that's coming. You know, I'm not him, but there's one that's coming that I'm unworthy to even untie his sandals. And then Jesus comes up to John and says, John, I want you to baptize me. And so if it was important enough for Jesus to be baptized, it's important enough for us to be baptized. And too often we kind of put it off. We're like, man, I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. You know, what will people say? But the thing is are you committed or not? Are you in or not? Are you follower or not? And so Jesus teaches us. He models it to be baptized. But yet too often we keep putting it off. And we'll say, well, one day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to do that. Well, you're not following if you're not doing that, if you're not taking that step. So it's a commitment. We make the commitment to follow Christ in baptism. And then here's another one. Our level of commitment is critical to taking the next step in anything. Our level of commitment. So how committed are you? How deeply committed are you to following Christ? Are you just wanting surface level? Are you just kind of wanting just enough to look like, hey, you know what, man, I think I'm good with God, but I don't really want him to affect my personal life. I don't want him to affect my dating life. I don't want him to affect my wants and my things and my stuff. Do you just want enough Jesus to where you can feel like, you know what, hey, I think I'm okay with God as far as maybe getting in. I want to kind of slide in under the gate. You know, I just want to kind of get into heaven. Or do you really want all that he has for you? There used to be a great Long John Silver commercial where this guy's standing on this pier, and this guy's got all these rods out there, and the guy goes, what are you fishing for? He goes, I want it all. And that ought to be our mentality. Man, I want all that God has for me. Not just enough to kind of skirt the issues or trying to get in or just kind of even say that maybe I'm a believer. But man, we ought to have that mentality. God, I want all that you have for me. I want the best. I want everything that you have for me. And so our level of commitment is critical to us taking the next step, whatever that next step may be. Whether it be salvation, it's critical. How much faith does it take to be saved? All that you have. Every bit that you've got is surrender, is total surrender. And it's by faith you do that. It's not by works or knowledge or anything like that. Too often we think that knowledge is what helps us grow and get to the next level. Not, there's plenty of people that know a whole lot more about the Bible than anybody in this room, but they deny Christ. So it's not about knowledge. It's about faith. It's about commitment. It's about surrender. And so there's plenty of people that have a lot of knowledge and a lot of mental capacity. But man, they don't walk by faith. They don't follow Christ. And so our level of commitment is critical to taking the next step. So how committed are you? How committed are you? Is it just a surface level or is it run deep? You ever watched a kid who played a sport, no matter what sport it is, but dude, he plays with his heart. And it doesn't matter how athletically gifted he might be. He may be the least talented kid on the team. But if he or she plays with heart, they move you. And you go, you know what? They give it everything they have. It's because they're committed. It's because they give everything they have. The second one here, God grows me through consistency. You know, we struggle with this one. This is a tough one for all of us. You know, I didn't call it discipline because everybody go, oh, yeah, that's my struggle is discipline. Well, a lot of us just struggle with being consistent as well. But God grows me through consistency. Inconsistency robs our witness and our sustained growth. So being inconsistent in my walk with Christ, being inconsistent in my faith, causes me to, number one, my witness to be in jeopardy. When people see, I mean, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. Boy, if she goes to a women's retreat, when she comes back, she's on fire for God. But you give her 3 or 4 weeks and she's back to the same old thing, telling the same old jokes, you know, saying the same old things, gossiping just like everybody else. He goes to man camp, man, he gets fired up. He's, you know, he's ready to charge hell with a water pistol. He's going to lead his family and it lasts a whole 2 weeks. And so here's the thing is God uses consistency in our life, number one, as a witness to in the lives of others, especially our family. Because our family sees us up and down, up and down, up and down. But that consistency is critical, and it also helps us move towards sustained growth. So we need that. Here's a statement here. It says, diets versus lifestyle change. Diets work. I mean, there's no doubt that a diet works. Let me tell you how a diet works. And we do the same thing spiritually. But diets are like, you say, you know what, I'm going to cut back on my intake, my calories, for however many weeks. So I'm going to do this for however many weeks. And I'm going to cut back on my calories. I'm going to increase how many calories I burn by exercising. I'm going to walk or whatever. And so what we do is we know, and this is simple math, so I'm taking in less calories than I was taking in, and I'm burning more calories than I was burning, and so therefore you will lose weight. That's a no-brainer. But you only do it for 6 weeks, and then you lose weight. You begin to feel better, and you go, man, I'm feeling a lot better. And so you go, I've lost down to where I wanted to be, so now I'll go back to doing what I was doing before. And then all of a sudden, you kind of drift right back to where you were at. And sometimes you add even a few more because you were, you know, feeling so good, you're eating a little more. And so that's kind of how a diet works. You go up and down, up and down. Well, spiritually, we're guilty of doing the same thing. For some of us, we start having a devotion. We get up in the mornings and we read the Bible. We pray for our family and we pray with our family. You know, we end up going to church multiple Sundays in a row. We even go to life group. And all of a sudden we realize, man, this is making a difference in my life spiritually. I feel better about myself. I feel like I'm beginning to understand the Word of God. I feel like I'm beginning to understand what it means to walk with Christ. I'm beginning to understand it. And so you're feeling pretty good about that. And then all of a sudden, you know, all it takes is one invitation to the lake or to the beach or whatever. And you go, you know what? I'm going to go with them. And you go there and you don't do it again the next week. But, you know, maybe you say, you know what? I'm going to start back. You don't keep having the quiet time. You don't keep spending time around the right people. And all of a sudden, you're back where you were. And you're like, man, what is the deal? And it's like a spiritual diet. But it's the lifestyle change that changes everything. And we all know that, but it's the consistency to stay with that. Does the diet work? Yeah. And does a spiritual shot in the arm work? Yes, it makes a difference. But is it long lasting? Does it give us the sustained growth that we want? No, it doesn't. And so lifestyle change is what brings lasting change. Lifestyle change. And so for some of you here, that may be what we're fixing to talk about is a challenge. Lifestyle change. So in other words, you change how you eat. You change how much you exercise, and you do that for the long haul, you will see the best results. All right, here's the same thing spiritually. If you have a devotion daily, you memorize scripture maybe once a week. You get involved in a life group connected with other believers who are trying to grow spiritually. And then here's the other thing. You attend church regularly. You know, there may be times you can't be here, but if you can be here, you're here. And you're challenged whenever you do that. And here's the other thing. As you walk out of each of those situations going, God, how do I apply this truth? Because just because you hear something, it does not mean that necessarily you are applying that. So how do I apply it? So each day you seek to apply that truth to your life. I can tell you this. It will change your life. It'll be a lifestyle change. And so lifestyle change is what brings lasting change. Here's the third way that God grows us. He grows me through challenges. We need to be challenged. We can fall into a spiritual rut. And what happens is we get used to doing something the same way. And I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know if it's always a great thing that you attend church out of habit. That you're just here because it's Sunday and that's what you're supposed to do. But what if you were here because you wanted to gather with the church of Christ, with the body of Christ. You wanted to be able to gather with the body of Christ and be able to worship Him in truth and in spirit, because you can't do that on your own. You can worship Him, yes, but you can't do it corporately. But what if the mentality to be here was, you know what, you wanted to be challenged and you wanted to be able to worship corporately as the body of Christ. You wanted to be able to sing songs back to Him, and you were here not just because it was a routine or a ritual or that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday, or not even because Mom wants you to be here, because they need me there, but because you want to be here. And so that ought to be a challenge to us. You know what, man, I want to be here because God is here, because He's meeting with us corporately as the body of Christ. And so we can fall into spiritual ruts. We can do that physically as well. We can do it in a lot of different ways. There's some of you in here, maybe you work out now. I know Larry over here works out. And, Larry's one of those workout guys that, you know, bodybuilder type guy. But here's the thing is, and Larry will probably tell you this, there are times someone has to challenge you to kind of push through a barrier, right, Larry? Yeah. And here's the thing. You think about it. If you were working out, some of you guys or some of you girls, you get in there and you go in and you go on to do bench press and you start with 100 pounds. And at first, man, it's a struggle to get 100 pounds up. But before long, if you do it long enough, you know, you'll be able to do it pretty easy. And if that's all you ever do, then you'll never find out what your potential is. You'll never be pushed or challenged. If you just say, hey, you know what? That's all I'm going to ever do is 100 pounds. But what if you were to say, you know what? Next week, I'm going to try 105. You know, and if I can't get 105, then I'm going to stay with 100 until I can get 105. And so you're just in your mind, you're mentally challenged. But what if somebody comes along and says, hey, listen, I'll spot you and I'll help you if you'll try 110. And then all of a sudden you get down there and you're able to get 110. Number one, because they're pushing you and they're challenging you. And all of a sudden you get 110. You realize, you know what, my potential is not 100. That's where I have been. I'm kind of in a rut. So my potential is higher than that. And for some of us, we need to be challenged. It's not just kind of going through the motions, going through the routine, and just kind of doing what it takes to get by. But sometimes we need someone to challenge us. We all need to be challenged to reach our potential. We all need to be challenged to reach our potential. As a coach, personal trainer, that's what they do. And I'll go ahead and tell you, as a pastor, that's part of my job, is to challenge us as a church, to challenge you, to challenge me. There's so many times when I preach a message, and I hope you guys understand this, that message has been preached to me all week long. God is challenging me. And so oftentimes what I bring to you is what God is challenging me with. And so we all need to be challenged. And sometimes your life group leader may challenge you. Hey, listen, I want you to close us in prayer tonight. Or I want you to close you in prayer today. And you may freak out, but you know what? You need to be challenged. Just a few weeks ago, actually last first Wednesday, I did that with everybody in here. I had everybody that was in here pray out loud. And some of them freaked out. Some of them wanted to bolt for the doors. But you know what? At the end, I had some of them come up to me and say, hey, listen, I appreciate you challenging me. We need to be challenged. And we all need to say, you know, God, how do I get to that next level? God, how do I become a greater warrior for you? God, I need to be challenged. And so we all need to embrace that and say, it's okay. Here's the other thing. God grows me through challenges. Is the right environments can help challenge us and bring about the desired change. Now, if you're working out in a gym, and you're in a right environment where everybody in there has high standards, high goals that they're working towards. And you go in, number one, you're going to feel a little bit intimidated, or either you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to have to raise the bar in here. If you come from a loser mentality, you've been playing on a team that they don't care if they ever win a football game or a baseball game or a soccer game, they don't care. But you go to a program that is a winning program, there's going to be a challenge to say, hey, listen, man, this is going to take a little bit more out of all of you. And all of a sudden, that whole mentality, that whole mindset can change you if you're in the right environment for the good. Now, here's the thing. You can go from a winning program to a losing program, and it can affect you the same way. You can go, who cares? I mean, it's just a game. Who says I have to give my best? And so environments are critical. And I think it's important that, you know, for the men here to go to man camp, you know, to be a part of the men's ministry, for the young people to be in the youth environment, for the ladies to go to women's retreats, because oftentimes God uses those environments to grow us and to challenge us. Now, here's one of the things that always is kind of been a beef for me. I did student ministry for 15 years. And I'll hear parents always say, how come your kids aren't going to such and such, or going to youth, or going to youth camp, or whatever? And they'd be like, well, you know, I just don't want to force it on them. And I'm like, you force everything else. You make them go to school. And they're like, well, I'll get arrested if I don't make them go to school. I said, I understand that. All right, but here's the other thing. I said, you make them play sports. You make them do this. You make them do that. You make them clean up their room. Why not put them in an environment? Make them get in an environment. I know some of the youth are going, dog, I don't like it whenever he says stuff like that. But here's the thing. The right environment may bring out the best in them. Now, I think most everybody in here would agree with this. If you put someone in the wrong environment for long enough, it will affect them as well. If you let your kids just go hang out with whoever who does whatever, then it doesn't take long before they're doing the same things and acting the same way. But what if you got them around some kids that were growing in their faith, that were trying to live for God? Now, you might say, well, Mike, not all of them in there do that. I understand that. Not all of you guys are living for God either. So here's the thing is, why not put your kid in an environment where they have the opportunity to respond and maybe challenged to respond, maybe challenged to grow spiritually, maybe challenged to say no to some things? Why not put them in that environment? And so, and I would say the same thing to you. Why not put yourself in an environment, like a life group, where you're challenged to be maybe more spiritually focused than you are, to maybe be more disciplined in some areas than you are? Why not put yourself in those areas? Because here's the thing. God uses those environments to grow us. If you go to a conference and you're hearing this training, this teaching, or whatever it might be, oftentimes you go, you know what? Man, I can do this. And you begin to believe in yourself. And you go, I'm going to try this. And before long, you start trying those one or two steps, and it's changing everything. So that's how God grows us. God grows us through commitments, through consistency, which is one of the missing ingredients in our culture, it seems like. We're so up and down. We're so up and down. God grows us through challenges. Let me just tell you how God grows us through challenges. Like, I've been watching, and I don't know if you guys know Angela Smith and Seth Smith, but Angela is up in Virginia. She's got a sister who just had a baby. The little baby's name is Max. And she's been keeping us informed throughout all of the time that she's been up there. He's been in ICU. He's got all kinds of complications. And she'll send us a picture. She'll text us a picture. Say, hey, listen, I just want you to see Max. Or she'll take a picture of the team that's working on Max. They're trying to get him off a breathing machine. And he needs your prayers. But she's even texted us some of the prayers that she's praying over the teams and over Max. And here's the thing, the challenge of seeing her nephew struggling and fighting for life has brought about growth in Angela spiritually. Now, most of us in here, we don't want that kind of challenge. You'd rather hear a pastor challenge you. But I'm just telling you, there's some of you that you'll go through a challenge. Could be cancer. I had lunch with a guy this past week who had to have some parts of his intestines removed that they thought was cancerous. And he sent me a text this past week before we went to lunch. And he said, I just want you to know, he said, my faith is more real now than ever. He said, and I grew up in all kinds of Christian environments. So what I'm telling you is the challenge. It'd be better to be challenged by the Word of God, by the teaching of God's Word, by people that are walking in their faith, than God having to do something or choosing to use something to challenge you and bring you closer to Him. So what I'm saying is God will use the challenges in life to grow us. And we have a choice. We can either let it make us bitter or we can let it make us better. And so we've got to be willing to say, God, I want to be changed to become more like Christ. All right, so here's some things that help me to take my faith to the next level. These are the whats. So we're going to hit these real quick. Number one is a daily devotion. It's a quiet time. I've kind of covered this with you guys, and I won't spend a ton of time here, but a daily devotion is getting up and reading a scripture and allowing and saying, God, I want you to speak to me. And so you're speaking to God. He's speaking to you through His Word. You're speaking to Him through prayer. And so it's daily devotion. It's being consistent. And here's the thing. This is not a one-time decision. This is a daily decision to get up and spend time with Him. Daily devotion. It's not a one-time baptism. It's not a one-time decision, but it's a commitment and a consistency. It reveals consistency. Daily devotion, consistency. Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So many of you guys are always asking, you know, what is God's plan? What is God's purpose for my life? What is God, you know, wanting me to do? a lot of those answers are in the Word. They're in the Word of God. You just got to spend some time there. You know, and I know it's easy. We always want to kind of do the shortcut was, hey, what does God want me to do in this, Pastor Mike? Or what does God want me to do in this life group leader? Or what does God want me to do in this situation, Mom or Dad? But it may be that if you were to spend some time in God's Word daily, He would reveal what the steps are. He would reveal how to respond or how to move in that situation. Here's a great passage out of Philippians. Most of you guys know this. If you've ever wrestled with any kind of anxiety, you know this passage. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you've heard from me and seen and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. That's Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He said, hey, listen, you know, don't worry. Don't fret. I know for many of us, you know, we're worried about the state of our nation right now. We've got this clown type, you know, election going on. It is so embarrassing to watch the debates. I mean, I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me to the core. I can't even watch it. It's so embarrassing to see that the state of our nation is at that point where that's all we have to choose from are these two individuals that we've got to vote on. It's embarrassing. And here's the thing, and let me throw a challenge out there to you. If there were more godly men and women that would step up and lead in our country, we wouldn't have that issue. But too often, the spiritual leaders and stuff, you know, like, we just don't want to get involved. We don't want to get involved with the government or whatever. No, we need godly men and women leading this nation, not clowns like we're seeing. And so it's embarrassing to watch it. I can't watch it without getting frustrated going, you know, I mean, I'm embarrassed that that's where we're at. That life, you know, we're going to sit there and we're going to talk about abortion like it's no big deal. Like it's just a political issue. Instead of it being life. Here we are, we're praying for Max to be, you know, for God to heal him and to save him. But yet we don't think anything about speaking out against abortion or anything. I'm telling you, we need to be challenged. And we need to step up and be leaders. And some of the young people in here, man, my prayer is that they will be godly leaders who have values and morals. And they lead not only on a national level, but here in the community. And some of you, maybe you need to step up and lead here in the community. You know, don't just sit back and complain about the community. Do something. Respond. Go to the next level. Say, you know what? Maybe it is time for me to get involved. Somebody needs to. And we need godly leaders on every level. Mayors, councilmen, whatever, all the way up to president. And so we need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for revival for our nation. That there would be a change in the hearts. That the church would step up and be more actively involved and lead in a passionate way. There's too much at stake. But yet, too often, we're just okay with the status quo, just going through the motions. For years, the church has been called the silent majority. The silent majority. And so I'm just telling you, every one of you guys, you need to make sure that, you know what, you're not silent about those things, but you speak out. That doesn't mean get on Facebook and post all kinds of stupid stuff. That means to stand firm and to share your convictions and your values. And talk about, you know, the sanctity of human life. Talk about, you know, God's Word. And use those opportunities to express, you know what, this is what God says. This is what God's Word says. Not what some political candidacy or some political platform says. But what does God's Word say? So daily devotion may be where you would learn some of that. So from your time in God's Word, you're hearing this rather than what the news is saying. But you're getting your direction from God's Word. There's a scale down here. I want you to look at that. It says, am I consistent in reading the Bible and talking with God in prayer? I want you to rate yourself. Nobody knows you like you except God. God knows you better than you know yourself. But you know yourself. And so I just want you to take a minute and I want you to just kind of rate yourself there. You can think about it. And for some of you, you don't even have to think about it. You already know what the answer is. Let's look at the second one here. Number two is life group or Bible study group. We have what we call life groups that meet all through the week. And those life groups, they meet and they study scripture. They study books. They study teaching. And so the thing is if for how, you know, part of the what will help me to grow is for me to be in a group. It goes back to environment. If you look over there to the side, the right environment. But if I'm in an environment where people are studying the Word of God and they're trying to apply it to their life, number one, that's a good place for me to be. Look at this next one. It says, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. And when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. So when we gather together in life groups, whether it's a student life group or an adult life group or whatever it might be, when we get together, we're to encourage one another. We're to challenge one another. We're to, hey, and maybe, you know, you've been struggling with an area. You encourage one another. Hey, man, press on. Stand firm. Be strong. We need that. And for some of you in here, you've never taken the commitment. You've never taken that step of getting involved in a Bible study. You go, I don't know anybody in there. It's okay. You'll get to know them. And they'll get to know you. And that may be why you're not doing it. You're like, they're going to get to know me and they're going to not like me. No, no, no. We're all broken vessels. We're all broken vessels. There's no perfect people. And so just keep that in mind. Look at this next one. They worship together. This is Acts, the early church. They worship together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And so here's what I want you to hear on that. This is the early church. That's the reason it exploded, is they were meeting in homes. That's what we call life groups. And so they were meeting in homes. Some of them were meeting, you know, out and about. And some of ours meet in restaurants and places. But they were here at the church. They were gathering together in the temple courts, if you would, as the church, worshiping Him corporately. We need this time, but we need that time as well. And so there's a rating there. Am I participating in my weekly life group? And you know the answer to that. Are you participating? Doesn't mean you're just showing up and sitting there. Are you participating? Are you engaged in it? All right, look at the third one here, generous giving. We all know that the ministry, you know, that part of what we do is when we invest in ministries and we invest in by giving, God uses what our widow's mite, if you would, and He does great and mighty things with it. And so there's a statement here that says you can't outgive God. I think most of us in this room know that. We just don't trust Him enough to try Him on that. We believe that. We just don't know if we trust Him enough to give like that. But generous giving is just giving without expectation of return. It's not giving so that you get something. It's just giving because you want to bless someone. There's nothing like blessing someone. If you've ever had the opportunity just to bless someone and not expect anything in return, here's the thing, if not, and even if nobody else knows, but you know, man, there's nothing like that. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce, that He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. You know, for some of you in here, it's trusting God enough to tithe, to return the tithe. You know, that's what will grow you. If you don't think it will grow you whenever you give money away that you feel like, you know what, I want that or I need that for something else, and then God blesses, not only does He return that, but He gives you more, or He gives you a blessing that you couldn't ever pay with money anyway. And so here's the thing, it's trusting Him enough. It's taking that step and saying, God, I trust You enough to step out on faith. Like when Laurie and I got married, we made $400 less a month than what we needed to pay our bills. Number one, you're probably going, why in the world did their parents let them get married? I was still in college. She was still in college. $400 less a month than what we needed to pay our bills, just to pay our bills. But every month, God always provided above and beyond what we needed. And we were able to tithe. You think that doesn't make sense? It's not my math. It's God's math. If you trust Him, He will provide. If you trust Him, He will meet that need. And so am I consistently returning my full tithe? And remember, the full tithe, the first 10% is His. And there's some of you, maybe you're saying, well, I'm giving an offering. It's not an offering until it's above 10%. The first 10% is His. But here's the thing, is to give generously. And start somewhere. Start at 1%. Start at 2%. Start at 3%. Start somewhere and take that step of faith. Let me tell you what's funny. Nearly every time I teach on that, our offerings go down. I don't know what that's about. It's like, yeah, I'm going to show Pastor Mike, you know, whatever. I don't know. So am I consistently returning my full tithe to God? Number four, sharing my faith. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Colossians 4:5. I had a young person, one of our youth, send me a message through Facebook. He goes, I hope I'm not bothering you. He said, I wanted to ask you a quick question. I had a friend that I was trying to share my faith with, and he kept questioning about how do you prove it? How do you prove it? He goes, I didn't know if you had anything or maybe a scripture. And let me just say this. It blessed my heart that we have a young person in our church that is sharing his faith with his friend. I'm going, cool. And I sent him back some links to some information that I feel like has a whole lot more information than just that one question. But here's the thing is, you know what? That kid is taking a step. He is stepping up. He is stepping out. And some of the adults in here need to do the same thing. How do you step up? How do you share with the people around you? And so it's always exciting to me when I hear people talking about sharing their faith. I had a guy give me a call this past week. He said, "Hey, Pastor Mike," he said, "man, I just wanted to tell you, you know, I was asking you to pray for me as I share with my dad." He said, "Well, I got an opportunity to share with my dad this past week." I said, "Man, that's awesome." And so here's, you know what they're doing? They're taking the next step. They're going to the next level. And if you want to grow in your faith, start sharing your faith. Start sharing your faith. And I promise you, you will grow. Ask yourself, am I praying for, inviting, and sharing my faith with those around me? You know the answer. Number five, Sunday gathering services. That's what we are right here, corporate worship. So this is another what that will help me. This is what you can do that will help you to grow spiritually. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:19-20. And here's what I would say is, do you look forward to coming and being here and being a part of the services? Do you get excited about maybe the challenge that's going to be there? Here's the other thing about participating and engaging. See, we never wanted people to come and sit and just soak up a seat. We want people to get engaged. We want them to engage in the worship. We want them to engage in what God is doing here. And for some of you, maybe today it's time to take the next step. Maybe it's the time to take the commitment and go to the membership class. It's today after the second service. Maybe it's time to step up and to make a commitment, to do something different. And say, you know what, I'm not just going to attend the church. I want to be a member. I want to be counted on. I want to be somebody that, you know what, they can count on me. I want the church to know, dude, hey, you know, we got Fallapalooza coming up. We're needing volunteers. We need people to help out. You know, hey, people say, you know what, hey, count on me. I'll do something. Even if it's taking the trash out, I'll do something. But we need some people to step up and to be involved and be engaged. And here's the thing is, one of the things that you can do is you can start by being in church and at church and serving in some capacity, using your gifts. What we'll do today is we'll talk about membership and what it means. Next week, we'll talk about 201, which is some of these same things here. How and what does it take to grow spiritually? And then the third week, we'll talk about using your gifts, using your spiritual gifts. Some of you guys have incredible gifts, but you're not using them for the kingdom. But what if you were to use those gifts to make a difference in the lives of people, helping them to take steps towards Christ? It's got a scale there. You can rate yourself on that. There's a couple of things here at the bottom, steps. But before you do that, this should have been in your handout. I want you to take it out real quick. It's called Spiritual Growth Evaluation. If you got one, if not, you can get one afterwards. And we don't have time to cover it in here today. But what I wanted you to do is I wanted you to look at it. It's asking, am I a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? If you flip over in the back, let me just show you our mission statement. Journey Church exists to reach people who are disconnected from God and lead them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. So this is kind of a way for us to kind of say, hey, you know, what are we doing and how are we doing? And so it says over here on the front, am I fully devoted follower of Christ? True or false? So, you know, you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. But here's the thing. Most of you guys know if it's truth or if you're lying. But it just kind of asks some questions. And I want you to kind of walk down through some of these questions. We're not going to do it right now. But like the first one, I know for certain that I'm a follower of Jesus. That's critical. If you don't know if you're saved, a lot of the other ones on here really won't change a whole lot. But if you're not certain about your faith, if you're not sure that you're saved, it's something you ought to nail down. You know, the Bible tells us, you know what, I've told you these things that you might know that you're saved. Not that you have to guess or wonder or hope. Man, I hope I get into heaven. I hope I make it in. But you know. And so there's some questions there that I want you to kind of fill out. You can bring it back next week or whatever. And then down at the bottom it says, got questions, want to share your results. You can email us that if you want to tell us where you are. Flip over to the back real quick. I just went over the mission statement. But here's some other things. Learning more about becoming a member at Journey Church. There's three steps here. Number one is Connect class. That's today after the second service. So don't act like you didn't know about it. So it's today. Second one is Grow class. That's next Sunday. I just kind of covered that. Kind of the habits necessary for spiritual growth. Number three, Serve class. That's going to be on the following Sunday. And then here's some other things. There's Bible reading plans. Maybe you've got, you know, YouVersion on your phone. There's some Bible reading plans on there that you can get. And there's all kinds of Bible reading plans. You can do it on characters. You can do it on, you know, chronologically. All kinds of stuff. But maybe there's something in there. But maybe you just need to start reading the Bible every day. Maybe you ought to start today by having a devotion. And say, you know what, I'm going to have a devotion every day this week. Even if it's just one verse, 5 minutes, start somewhere. You don't have to sit down and do a 30-minute breakdown and break out, you know, the thesaurus and all this. I mean, it's just sit down and spend time with God. So Bible reading plan, and then here's another one. Maybe it's to follow Christ in believers' baptism. Maybe it's time to take that step. You can go to our website. You can go on there and let us know. And then here's some foundations down here these are the foundations of a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I attend Journey every Sunday. I'm in town. If you're here at Journey, now if you were at another church, it'd be a different church. I fully participate in a life group each semester. These are foundational. I memorize Scripture weekly. I hide God's word in my heart that it won't sin against God. I give a regular offering in a God-honoring way. I serve in a ministry where I am needed, gifted, and comfortable. I regularly pray for and invite my friends to Journey Church. Those are some of the foundations. So here's the thing I would say. Those are some goals that maybe you ought to say, you know what, I want to be the best at these. And so it's a challenge to say, you know what, maybe it's time to step up in some of these areas. Now, next steps down here, it says, my next step today is to commit my life to Christ for salvation for the first time if you've never done that. It's the most important step you'll ever take. Look at the next one. Commit to the membership class today. Or maybe the third one says, ask for God's help to step up my growth, especially as I commit to, you put whatever God wants you to put there. But you know what that might be. And so today is really, you know, how do we go to the next level? And like I said, sometimes it's tough, but we have to make a commitment. Uncommitted, just kind of going through the motions, won't take you to the next level. We, as the church, our nation needs people that are committed. Our Savior calls us to be committed. We need to be consistent in our walk, not up and down and tossed around like a wave. And then the last one, we need to be challenged. And I want to challenge you every chance I get. But you need to put some people around you that will challenge you. Maybe it's a life group leader. Maybe it's an accountability partner. But we need to be challenged, all of us do, to be the best that we can be, to bring God the very best from our life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, what is it that God is saying to you is your next step? Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, but you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time. That is the most important step for you. If that's you, you say, Mike, that's the need that I have. I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to know for certain that I'm saved. I want to know that Christ lives within me. I want to know for certain. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Anybody in the room? Mike, I need to accept Christ for the first time. Anybody? That is my need, is to accept Christ. That tells me that everybody in here is certain about their salvation. But what is it that God wants you to do? What's the next step? Is it believer's baptism? Have you followed Him in a believer's baptism? Have you shared your faith? Have you memorized Scripture? Do you have a daily devotion? Do you pray for your family? Do you pray with your family? What is it that God is saying, this is the next step? Trust me. Trust me. I just want to encourage you to take that step. Right now, just say, God, I'm asking you. God, give me the strength. Give me the courage. Give me the focus. God, give me the boldness to step out of the boat the way Peter did. Help me to stay focused on you and take the next step. Father, I thank you for today. God, take us as a church to the next level. God, grow our faith. Father, help us to be leaders who lead with passion, God, and with conviction. God, help us to be powerful witnesses for you. God, not those who get out and cause distractions, but God, that we cause others to come to you. Father, we are a catalyst for the gospel. Father, use us as your vessels this week. Take us to the next level. God, we can't lead anyone where we have not been. God, help us to lead and lead well. Father, we pray for your blessings on today. God, I pray for the election that's coming up, short days away. Father, I pray for godly men, godly women to do what is right. God, I pray for us to be voices for those that can't speak for themselves. So God, I just pray that you would give us wisdom as we move forward. Give us courage and boldness. And Father, I pray that we would not worry about anything, but God, we would pray. Help us to be a praying church. God, each one of us, let us be prayer warriors that go to battle daily, fighting the good fight, standing firm on your word, God, trusting you completely. In Jesus' name.